mountains are still being moved, and strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe, and yes, we can see it, but wonders are still what you do. And bodies are still being raised, and giants are still being slain. God, we believe, and yes, we can see the wonders are still what you do. We are here.
Praise the Lord, TPC. There is no better place that you could be than right where you're at today. The Lord is definitely in this place. You may be seated for a few announcements. First of all, there will be the Women's Conference. That will be March the 4th through the 6th. There is an information sheet and a sign-up sheet in the foyer of the gym. There will be a men's rally at the Pentecostals of Midi, and that will be Friday, February the 19th at 7 p.m., and the speaker will be Brother Mark Foster. Today, next door in the coffee cafe in the main sanctuary, there will be a garage sale with Christmas decorations, furniture, toys, and other miscellaneous items from the church. This will take place after the service this morning. You can meet with Brother Jason Langley if you would like to purchase an item. He'll be there for about 20 minutes after service. So the ushers can come forward at this time. We have several prayer requests. Sister Jackie Solomon, Brother C.R. Brown, Sister Kim Corder, the Whitman family, Sister Leona Hollingsworth, Kim and Chris Holly, Sister Tracy Landers. We also want to remember the McLeod family and the Treat family as they're suffering the loss of Sister McLeod, Brother Carl and Sister Jennifer Overton, and Brother and Sister Baggett. There are lots of needs, but we know who has all the answers. So we're trusting and believing in that. And I just want to encourage you all this week, you know, when we trust Him, it's not that we have all the answers, but it's that we are confident that He does. So I encourage you to step forward into your week knowing that He knows the way and He's going to lead you all the way. So let's pray over these needs and this offering. Lord Jesus, we come to You this day and we ask You to touch every individual that is in this place and those that have joined us by other means. We ask You to bless this gift that you are about to receive. Use it in ways that we cannot begin to comprehend. Bless every need that has been said before You. You know those that have been said and those that haven't. Lift them up. Strengthen them, God. We ask You to walk with us this week. Keep us happy, healthy, and safe as we journey through this week. We ask You, God, to bring us back next week, and we thank You for all that You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you give our team a hand? Don't they do a great job leading us? Fantastic job at leading us. And why don't you just turn around and wave at somebody and say something nice to them. Tell them, like, don't be a cranky Christian. Tell them, don't be a cranky Christian. Tell them it's good to see them in the house of the Lord. Amen. Good to see all of you this morning. Thank you for getting your families dressed and here. Thank all of our guests for being here. Those of you that have joined us online, we welcome you. If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of Matthew, chapter 7? And y'all, Harper gave me this humor last week. So Harper, thank you for the humor. Here it is. What do you call a belt covered in watches? A waste of time. That's pretty good, Harper. Thank you. All right, so here we go to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Are you with us? Here we go. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Verse 4. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hang on, everybody. Here's some strong word. Hypocrite. Come on now. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Father, I just thank you. What a great privilege it is to be able to stand before this wonderful body of Christ and, Lord, present your word. I pray, Father, that for the next few minutes that we would be here, not just sitting on a pew, but that we would be here in our spirit, in our soul, and in our body. That the enemy would not come in and steal our thoughts, but that we would focus on the word of the Lord. And God, that it would bear forth fruit in due season. And that is my prayer in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to talk to you today, not preach at you, but talk to you about binoculars or mirrors. You know, it's easy to get a set of binoculars and put them in our hands and look at everyone else's faults. We look at a set of binoculars and we look at our friends and our neighbors and Christians that sit with us in church, and we look at them and we say, my, when I look at them, boy, they ought to be more friendly than what they are. Or we look at our binoculars and we say, you know what, man, they're just pretty critical people. They need to lighten up. Or we look at our neighbors and we say, like, man, they sure are bad at gossiping. I mean, know what I'm talking about. It's pretty easy, isn't it, to get the pair of binoculars out and see everybody else's faults. Isn't that right? It's actually kind of cool to be up here with a pair of binoculars. Kind of makes you feel empowered. I'm looking at you. Right? It's kind of cool to see everybody else's faults, because binoculars are a whole lot less threatening than mirrors. Can I get a witness? You know, with binoculars, it's easy to say, yeah, I'm good. It's all good. I'm good. I'm doing good. Yeah, I think I'm a pretty good guy. They're the ones with the problems. Right? Aren't we pretty good at that? But here's the deal. If we get in front of the mirror, we might just see that we are coping with the problem. And coping can make things appear as though they are forgiven. Oh yeah, I've forgiven everybody. Yeah, I'm good. But it's amazing if we'll take a minute and get in the mirror. See, God's Word is God's mirror. And when we get in front of God's mirror, He may show us that we've just been coping with the problem. We really haven't forgiven the problem. Come on, somebody. And you say, well, Pastor, I think that maybe I have forgiven them. Then here's the next question I don't want to ask all of us. If you have forgiven them, then have you blessed them? Have you blessed them? See, forgiving is only half of the equation. I'm going to say that again. Forgiving someone is only half the equation. It takes blessing to complete it and to really make it stick. You say, do you have Bible for that? I do. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Matthew 5 and 44 says this, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. You might be saying, well, this person, Pastor, greatly harmed me. They did me wrong. They betrayed me. They lied on me. They're still lying on me. You know, how am I supposed to give them a blessing? Well, here's the question. Who benefits more from forgiveness? Do you or them? Here's another question. Who benefited the most when God forgave us? Think about this. I'm not trying to trick you, but think about it. Who benefited the most when God forgave us? Us or Him? The answer is Him. You say, how is that possible? Well, because God obtained the greater benefit, because when He forgave us, then He was able to receive us. And He didn't just receive one or two of us. Whomsoever will that will accept His forgiveness can find redemption. In fact, think of it this way. If God hadn't forgiven, He would have really aborted the whole purpose of why He came. Because He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So He benefited the most when He forgave, because now He could fulfill His purpose. Here's what it says in Isaiah 43 and verse 25. Check this out. Isaiah 43:25. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for what? For my own sake. And I will not remember thy sins. We benefit the most when we forgive and bless those who have offended us. Until we forgive those that have offended us, we remain their victim. Jesus was a man as much as He was God. And when He was on that cross, He said, I refuse to be a victim of what the people have done to me. You say, Jesus couldn't have, the man side could have. Yes, it could have. But He said, I refuse to be a victim of what people have done. And therefore He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And because He was willing to forgive them, He rose victorious. Brothers and sisters, if you want to be victorious, do what Jesus did. I know you meant this for my evil. I know what you did. You did it from your heart. You was trying to take me out. But when I forgive, then I'm no longer the victim. I become the victor. I become victorious. Come on, somebody. Here's what Joseph said to his brothers. You did mean it for evil. You wasn't just joking. You wasn't just, you know, messing around. What you did was wrong, and you meant it for my evil. That was your heart. But Joseph goes on to say, but God meant it for my good. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Janet had some things happen to her when she was young, but she forgave, and now her testimony is a blessing to literally hundreds of women. But you know what? It's your choice. You can either get bitter or you can get better. You can be the victim or you can be the victor. And you can have binoculars or you can have a mirror and say, God, help me to see what I need to see in me. Help me to quit looking at everybody else. And let your word show what is truly in my heart. Isn't that the truth? I'm going to approach some things today. I just want to have a conversation with you on conversations that I had with people over the years, through 30 years of ministry. Here's some things that people have said to me. Well, Pastor, I will forgive them, but they have to ask me. Okay? I will forgive them, but they have to ask me. So here's responses. Here's responses. Are you ready? Did God forgive us before or after we ask? Brothers and sisters, before you were ever a twinkle in your mama's eye, God had already forgiven you. In fact, millennia before you were ever even born, God had already forgiven you. Now, yes, we ask His forgiveness, but He's already given it. Can I get a witness? So, that's the answer to that question. Give it before they even ask. Because if you don't, what you're doing is you're becoming the victim instead of being the victor. When you forgive, you're releasing not only them, you're releasing yourself. Here's an ancient Chinese proverb. If you've got revenge in your heart, you might as well dig two graves. Think about that. Here's another question. What about forgiving God? I've been asked about that. What about forgiving God? Well, that's a great question. We've got to remember again that forgiveness concerns us more than the one we forgive. When we forgive God, we simply release any offense that we may have taken up against Him. I will tell you that when my mom passed away in May of 99 with bone cancer, I took an offense to God. I was highly angry and very upset with the Lord. You guys didn't have the privilege of knowing my mother, but Sister Hennigan knew my mother, and she can testify. My mother was a princess. She was a sweetheart. And I thought to myself, I just didn't understand God. Anybody ever been there? I mean, I walked into the house one day and I said, doggone it. My mama, you would have thought that I had just cussed a blue streak. She was like, oh, baby, please don't say that. I'm like, what's the deal? Oh, that's slang for another word, baby. Please, Wayne, don't ever say that again. That's just who she was. That was her nature. She was a kind woman, a very gentle woman, a loving woman. And yet, at the tender age of 57, the Lord takes her. And then you see all these other rascals that you want God to take. Come on, I need some real folk in here now. Huh, right? Some like morons of the highest order. I mean, you look at them and you say, how stupid can you be and still breathe? And yet they just flourish. Just go right on. Prosper. I need some real folk in here now. Yeah, I did. I got angry at God. I got upset at God. And it took me a while to come to terms, and I wrestled with the Lord, the what's and the why's. And that all became less. Hear me now. Hear me. When I began to know His heart. One of the best studies that you can ever do for yourself is to study the nature of God. Because when you do an in-depth study on the nature of God, God only wants to do you good and not evil. Amen. And anytime you can't track what God is doing in your life, you can always trust what He is doing. Amen. And when the Lord doesn't meet our expectation, it's easy to take up an offense against Him because we feel that He disappointed us. We feel that God has abandoned us in our most desperate hour. Here is the ironic thing about God, y'all. When you study God, here it is. When Jesus was being baptized, a voice spoke out of heaven and said this, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." It was a high day. It was a day of joy. And the Lord spoke. Now think about this. Jesus is on the cross. And the voice of God never speaks. You would think it would be just the opposite. That on this great day, the Lord wouldn't need to speak. But while He's in His greatest hour, Jesus is on the cross, God doesn't speak. You say, why, Pastor? I don't know all the answers to that. But here is what I do know. As I have studied the Word of God, I saw where God spoke to Abraham, He spoke to Isaac, and He spoke to Jacob. But if you keep reading in the Word of God, you will see that God never spoke to Joseph. It's not in there. He never spoke to Joseph like He did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yet, here's what the Bible says. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. When he went into the pit, and the Lord was with Joseph. And when Potiphar's wife lied on him, it says it, and the Lord was with Joseph. And when he went to the prison because of a lie, and the Lord was with Joseph. God did not speak to Joseph as He did Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but the Lord was with him. And here is what I'm telling you. Even when you're having your worst day, this is what I know about the Lord. The Lord is still with you. Even when you're not hearing the word of the Lord is still with you. How do you know that? Because His word says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Even when I'm not hearing the voice of the Lord, I have His word. It's in my heart and I know that God is with me. Does that make sense? So here's what I'm saying. God was with you then. When you didn't hear His voice, He is with you now. Even though you may not understand, He is still with you. He loved you then when you were going through your darkest hour. And He loves you now, even if you are on the mountaintop. When we forgive God, we simply release any offense that we have toward Him. And then when we release our offense toward God, we can say with the psalmist, I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise will continually be in my mouth. God, I know that if I can't track You, I can trust You because I know Your nature, and I know that You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. Here's a question I've been asked. What if I have a hard time forgiving myself, Pastor? Well, here's my response to that. I believe there's two reasons when people ask me that question. First, having unforgiveness towards someone else prevents that person from experiencing God's forgiveness. You say, what do you mean? Here's the answer to that. Here's Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Jesus says this, if you will forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, I will not preach last week's message, but if you didn't get it, you ought to go and maybe listen to it on the podcast, because we talked about the terrible parable. And in the terrible parable, what we learned last week is when you do not forgive your brother and your sister, then God reinstates your debt back to you and will not forgive you. That's what makes that the terrible parable, because he's not talking about the unsaved people. He's talking about his children. He is telling you, if you do not forgive, then I'm going to reinstate your debt, and it's a debt you cannot pay. Can I get a witness? And so here's the next reason that people find it hard to forgive themselves. It's called pride. Pride. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, when we do foolish or hurtful things and we realize what we've done, we usually begin to beat ourselves up. Right? We look in the mirror and we like, how can you be that stupid? How can you be so dumb? How can you do what you did? And we consider what we did really inexcusable, and we become disillusioned with ourselves. I like what somebody said. I don't know who said it, but somebody said this. God can never be disillusioned with us because he had no illusions of us to begin with. I had somebody tell me, man, I really let God down. And I wasn't smart in my response. I was meek in my response, but I looked at him and I said, no, sir, you didn't let God down because you were never holding him up. I don't mean that rudely, but you wasn't holding him up. You say, how do you know that? Because Hebrews 1 and 3 tells me he upholds all things by the word of his power. You're not holding God up. God's holding you up. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? And when we act, brothers and sisters, as if we have sinned beyond forgiveness, we're holding ourselves to a higher standard than what God holds us. And in essence, we're saying that God died for all sin, but mine is the exception. And saying that God cannot forgive us declares our sin more powerful than he is. And what that really is that is pride and that is arrogance of the highest order. Because nothing is too hard for God. God's hand is not short that it cannot reach to the lowest sinner and pick them up out of the miry clay and wash their black heart with his red blood and make them white as snow. Can I get a witness? When you're saying that my sin is so bad God can't forgive me, that's pride and arrogance. There's only one sin that God can't forgive, and that is blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Most people never do that. Yes, no matter what you have done, brothers and sisters, no matter how long you did it or who you did it with, God's grace is sufficient. And by the way, let me just throw this in for good measure. I don't want to mess you up, but the Bible does not say God forgets our sins. I know we've been taught that, and I'm not slamming anybody. I tell you I'm not. But you've heard most all your life that God throws our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. That's not what the Bible says. I'm gonna try to show you this here. That verse that people get that actually comes from Micah, the Old Testament, 7 and 19. Micah 7 and 19, I hope they can put this on the screen because I don't want you to think I'm trying to hoodwink you. Here's what it says. Micah 7:19, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. That's where that saying comes from. He will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea, but it does not say in the sea of forgetfulness. I understand what they're saying, but that's not what that means. Because God has forgiven our past, but it doesn't mean that He doesn't know who we are. Y'all need to look at that just to make sure I'm telling the truth, don't you? Cast all of their sins into the depths of the sea. Now, this is powerful. Listen. It doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, that He forgets. He simply chooses to remember them no more. He makes a choice. Does that make sense? He makes a choice. He knows what we did. But here's the good thing. When God thinks of us, He does not think of us in terms of what it cost Him to forgive us. He thinks of us in terms of how He blessed us. Because the blessing displaces the debt. So He's not looking at us as you're just an old rank sinner. When He sees the blood, He sees you as a born again child of God. And then He sees His blessings upon your life. And He doesn't remember. He chooses not to remember what we have done. Does that make sense? I've had people tell me, well, Pastor, they don't deserve to be forgiven. What they did to me, is they just don't deserve to be forgiven. Here's my response. No, they don't, but neither do you. So with whatever measure you measure it out, it's going to come back to you. But here's the negative part of that. I know we talk about that on tithe and offerings, and that's the wonderful part. But that sword cuts both ways. The negative part of that is when you don't forgive and when you measure out unforgiveness, it comes back to you. But it comes back to you pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You say, oh, I don't know about that. You might want to read your Bible. Yes, it does. It comes back to you multiplied when you're not willing to forgive. Can I get a witness? And so listen, no, they don't deserve your forgiveness, just like you didn't deserve for God to forgive you. But mercy does not come to the worthy or to the deserving. Freely you have received. What did you freely receive? God, I'm so sorry, I'm a sinner. When you meant it, God forgave you. You received that freely. What should you give? I forgive you. Does it take a minute? Yeah. It took me 10 years to get over something. I thought that I was over it until God gave me a dream 2 Wednesday nights ago. And then I realized maybe I haven't come as far as I need to come. So now what I'm doing is I'm not only going back and forgiving. What I'm doing now is I am blessing. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. Here's what you do. When the devil now comes to me, or he comes to you and says, don't you remember what they did to you? You no longer have to buy into this, well, I forgave and I forget. That's a lie perpetrated on the human race that's not true. Here's what you can do now that's real. You ready? You can say, of course I remember. How could I forget? But also remember I've blessed them. And I bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus. You say, is a blessing powerful? Let me show you how powerful it is. When Jacob come in and he tricked his father. And Isaac laid his hands upon him and blessed him. It wasn't very long after Jacob had walked out that Esau walked in. And he says, who are you, my son? And he says, I'm Esau, your son, your firstborn. Bless me, Father. And Isaac started shaking. And he said, I've been tricked. He said, but I want you to know, Esau, I've already blessed your younger brother, Jacob. And that blessing stands. It cannot be revoked. Brother, when a curse can be broken, but when you give a blessing, that blessing stands. Whew. And when you forgive them, what you do is you bring your account back to zero. But when you start blessing them, you start depositing back into their account. Oh, I bless you in Jesus' name. And the devil comes to you and tells you, look what they've done to you. You say, I know what they did, but I bless them anyway. I bless them as they come in, and I bless them as they go out. Oh, I'm not going to be indebted to them. I'm going to bless them. Somebody give God some praise in this house. Hallelujah. I'm gonna be very practical with you this morning, okay? So here's what an ex-wife did for her ex-husband. This is from a single mother who had forgiven her ex-husband. She forgave him, and then here's what she said. To my ex-husband, I bless you. And may the Lord watch over him and bring to him the relationships that he needs. May they all be fruitful and satisfying. And may he have only those relationships that God intends for him to have. You know what she just did? She didn't stay at ground zero. She made a deposit into his account. And now she's able to start going. And every time the devil starts bringing up about her ex, she can just bless him again. And guess what? After you keep blessing your ex, the devil's eventually going to leave you alone. Because he knows every time he brings it up, you're just going to bless them. I bless them in Jesus' name. I'm free from that offense. I am the victor and not the victim. Amen. Am I helping anybody? Hey, here's what I found interesting as I really started diving deep into this study. If you think about it, some of the first words that Jesus ever spoke to man was a blessing. Read the very last verse in Revelation. It contains, as it were, a blessing. And then, check this out, the very last thing that Jesus did before he ascended, the Bible tells this in Luke 25, that he blessed his disciples. Bless people. The Bible overflows with blessings. Bless them. And then what you start doing is making deposits into that account. Can I go on for a few more minutes? Okay. Some people, I've heard some people say, well, it's not genuine, Pastor, unless I really feel like. I got to feel this. I got to feel like forgiving. This is fixing to blow you away. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. I got to feel like doing it. Check this verse out. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Well, I got to feel it in my heart. The Bible says this, the heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? He that puts his trust in his own heart is a fool. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that forgiveness begins with a decision. And we can make a decision regardless of how we feel. Our choice, say my choice. My choice determines my authenticity, not my feelings. I make a choice to forgive you. Not because I feel it. I look in the mirror of God's Word, and God's Word said, if I don't forgive, I will not be forgiven. It doesn't matter whether I feel it or not. I'm going to make a choice because this is what God's mirror tells me to do. Can I get a witness? Here's the next thing people have asked, and this is a very big one, so you want to tune in here. I've had many people ask, what if the person I need to forgive and bless is dead? How do I go about that? Okay, here's what I want to tell you. Please listen. We can forgive anybody for anything, anytime, whether they are alive or dead. It doesn't matter because this is spirit and spirit lives on. Even though that person may be dead, they still exist somewhere in the spirit. And what you are doing, if you are forgiving a person that is dead, it's not so much for them as it is releasing you. I'm going to tell you all a story that I read, supposedly a true story. When this man was just 10 years old, his daddy came in a drunken rage and beat him till he broke his ribs, and he beat him literally unconscious. At that young age, that boy at 10 years of age, this is a true story, vowed that he would kill his father. He got into all kinds of trouble, started getting in all kinds of fights and brawls and bars, and he would take his revenge out on other men. One time he killed a man literally with his bare hands. And he was very angry. This is a true story. He was very angry because he had vowed to kill his father, and his father died. And he got even more hatred because he wasn't the one who was able to kill his father. That's how much hate and anger this young boy had. He grew up to be a man, and of course he spent a lot of time in prison. A minister came to this man, and this man was ready to change his life, and this particular minister led this man in a prayer of forgiveness. And this murderer was able to forgive and release the anger that he had toward his deceased father. And then that same minister led him in a blessing to bless his deceased father. And this is what it sounded like. This man said this prayer: "May God, the one who has the power to work everything for good, use this man's life," speaking about his deceased father, "to turn many to the Lord. May his sons be men of peace. May they be kind fathers and gentle husbands. May all of his children and his children's children reap a harvest of righteousness and peace and joy." And that man not only forgave his father, but he also blessed him even though he was already dead. You say, how is that possible? Because Jesus forgave us before we were already born. We can forgive someone after they have already been deceased. And God's great redemptive power can bring something brilliant and noble and magnificent out of the most horrific and gruesome violations. Because the scripture says he gives us beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. So let me wrap this up. I want to walk all of you through a model this morning. And then you're going to be able to take it from there. I want, if you will, now for everyone to please stand. I'm asking everyone in the building to hypothetically put your binoculars down. This is not you looking at anyone else. This is you getting in the mirror of God's Word and saying, "It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." I want them, if they would, I want them to put this model up for you on the big screen. You don't have to say this word for word. You don't have to repeat it verbatim. It's simply a model for you. Okay. Man, I wish we could get this of all times for our computer to go dark. Don't you hate the devil? Okay. So I'll just tell it to you. I'd love for you to see it, and maybe we can get it up, but I'll tell it to you. It goes something like this. Listen, Jesus, I thank you that you paid for all of my sins on the cross and that you have granted me total and complete forgiveness. Because you have forgiven me, I now, of my own free will, choose to forgive blank for doing blank. Did you get that? And then you go on to say what Stephen said: "Lord, please don't lay this sin to their charge." No matter what else they have done, No matter what else they have said, don't lay this sin against them. That's the first part. Are you with me? Here's the second part. I bless you in Jesus' name. May the Lord delight in you. And may you see His goodness in the land of the living. And may you live out every day allotted to you in health and favor. And may you fulfill all of your purpose. And may the meditation of your heart always be pleasing to Him. And listen. And may you know Him like He knows you. It's up on the screen now. And I don't know what they're going to sing. But I'm asking every one of you to, oh, I don't need forgiveness. I've forgiven. I'm all good, and I hope you are. I really do. I thought I was till God gave me the dream the other night. And I just had to put my binoculars down, and I had to look in the mirror. Are you ready? Brothers and sisters, I'm fixing to prophesy something. You may not jump or shout, but what is about to happen for someone in this room is you are about to be totally and completely set free by the power, hallelujah, of the name of Jesus. Are you ready? I want you to sing something so that nobody feels awkward. And I want everybody to put your binoculars down and get in front of the mirror. You don't have to pray this word for word, but start praying something like it. And then after you do, I want you to bless them in Jesus' name.
You thought I was worth saving. That you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was
I want you to put, Marilyn, if you would, I want you to put that forgiveness back up. Something's going to happen this morning. If you're a believer, if you're a guest, I don't ask you to do this unless you want to, but if you're a believer, I want you, if you will, to slip your hands up right now, please. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, I thank you that you paid all of my debt and all of my sins on the cross. Thank you that you've granted me total and complete forgiveness. And because you have forgiven me, I know on my own free will, I choose to forgive. Now say that person's name. My father, my mother, my sister, my brother, my best friend, my ex, whoever it may be, somebody deceased in your life, somebody that abused you, somebody that hurt you. Come on, call their name right now. Call their name. I forgive them. I release them. I set them free in Jesus' name. Now, if you mean it from your heart, say this. Lord, come on, somebody. Don't lay this sin to their charge. no matter what else they've done. Don't hold this sin against them. Here is my blessing for you. May the Lord delight in you. And may you see His goodness in the land of the living. May you live out every day allotted to you in health and favor. May you fulfill all of your purpose. And may the meditation of your heart always be pleasing to Him. And may you know Him like He knows you. Now come on, somebody, and give God some praise right now in His house. Come on and give Him praise. Come on and give Him praise. Thank you, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, may the Lord's face shine upon you, and may the Lord give you peace. May you be blessed as you come in, and may you be blessed as you go out. May the Lord put you at the right place at the right time to meet the right person. May His favor and blessing shine upon you this week. In the name of the Lord, I bless you in Jesus' name. Now, if you receive His word, come on and give God a big hand clap of praise right now. Amen. God is good, isn't he? I love all of you. Go with God. God's going to go with you. Have a great week. And if you're able, I'd love to see you back Wednesday night. Love all of you. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Be blessed.